Welcome to Braveheart Talks. And can you believe this is the final session of 2024 for this podcast? And as this year draws to a close, I thought it would be a right thing to do to help us all to end this year well. We've all heard the expression, how you leave one season is how you go into the next. And there is truth in that, that cuts so deep when it comes to the management of our own lives. If you were to consider the last few months of your own life and ask yourself the question, what are the things that I would like to change about me moving forward? What would I like to let go of that I seem to keep hold of? Because we all carry stuff around with us. We carry emotion around with us until we get so used to it being a part of us, we don't know how to do life without it. And so that way of life becomes a crutch to us. Maybe for you, it's the way you speak about yourself. You might say things like, but I've always spoken about myself like that. Or maybe it's the way we've allowed others to speak to us in a certain way. Maybe you're carrying a relationship that feels good to you, but you know is no good for you. And therefore, you know it ought to go before you step into 2025. It can be any number of things. Last week, we spoke about how easily we carry offense. We carry guilt. We carry shame from our past. We hold on to hurt. If you can imagine all of these things that you've picked up throughout the year and you've put them into an imaginary shopping cart of your life, that shopping cart only has so much space. So now when you come to fill it with the things that you really want, things like peace of mind, things like healing in an area of relationships, or giving yourself some self-esteem or self-worth, if your shopping cart is full of hurt and disappointment, then there's no space left within it for you to onboard your life with healing and wholeness for your body, soul, and mind. In Philippians 3, verses 13 to 14, Paul writes this. He says, I'm still not all that I should be, but I'm focusing all my energies on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. You see, Paul knew that in order to have space in his life to grasp hold of everything that God had for him in his future, there was aspects of his past that he had to let go of. And he didn't say it was easy, but he knew it was necessary so that he had room for God to deposit more blessing in his life. And so today, I'm going to invite you to listen to a message that I spoke at Braveheart Conference this year called The Future is Forward. And my prayer is that it helps you to let go of all that it might be hindering you as you go into this next season. I want to remind you that God has a great future for you. And though you can learn from 2024, you do not have to be defined by it, because 2025 is a new season all of its own, filled with hope and blessings. And remember, if God is before you, better days are always ahead of you. I want to wish you a very happy Christmas and an exciting and expectant new year. Many of you will be familiar with the word algorithm. Algorithm is a mathematical way that a computer solves problems. It's a mathematical way and it analyzes problems and it solves problems. Social media and the internet use algorithm because they think they're trying to solve your problems. And so what they do is the algorithm reads your history, it reads what you've been searching and researching, and it wants to narrow down, it wants to help you narrow down your search time. So it knows what you've been looking at. Have you like literally just been talking to your friend about eye cream and then you're on social media and every brand of eye cream just keeps like popping up? It's because they're looking at your history and they're reading the probability of what you will be interested in the future. It is the algorithm, and that is why adverts are way more distracting to you than they ever used to be, because everything that comes up on an advert you really need in your life. But I want to tell you that the enemy has an algorithm reading on your life too. He knows your history, and he's intentional on derailing your destiny because he knows what the history tells him. He has an algorithm on your weakness, on your flaw, on your vulnerability. He knows what you will easily be tempted by and what you would succumb to. He knows that when you find peace in your life, he'll flag up those anxious thoughts. And anytime you feel like you just get going in this area, something will derail you in this area because the enemy has an algorithm on your life. And I heard God use this expression, and it was really funny because I had to go and Google what the expression was because I'm really computer illiterate. I mean, the boys in the house will be like, she's really like talking some technical stuff. And so I heard this phrase, hard refresh. And I felt like the Lord say to me, tell the girls I want to do a hard refresh on their lives tonight. And I went and had a little look and had to go and find what a hard refresh was. And a hard refresh simply means that it's when the computer considers everything that's open. And like, I am that girl. I am like the worst nightmare. I have every tab open, every window open, every app is open, everything. And then I say to my husband, this phone's rubbish. It doesn't even work properly. And he's like, it's running so slow and sluggish, Emma, because you're not closing anything down. You've got everything open. We need to do a hard refresh. And that hard refresh literally means that it updates all your information and gets rid of all the unnecessary junk. God said, tell them, I want to do a hard refresh on their lives tonight because I think in the way that I leave all my apps and all my windows open on my Mac or on my phone, I think it's a picture of your life and my life because there are so many tabs left open from the past that you are not running into your future. There are so many tabs left open from what has been that you are not able to gain momentum. And all you can say is this God thing doesn't work. I became a Christian. I gave my life to God. I've been trying my hardest and I've been years in the same place and I've been years with the same mindset and nothing is changing. And God said, time for a hard refresh. We need to shut some things down. I want to take you to a scripture. And it's Jesus talking to a crowd at his time upon the earth, and he's gathered the people around him, and he just says these words in Luke 17, verse 28. The world will be as it was in the days of Lot, people eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just like this on that day the Son of Man is revealed, on the day that the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, no one who is on the housetop should go down into the house for his possessions, and likewise, no one in the field should go back for anything. And then in verse 32, Jesus ends this talk with these words, remember Lot's wife. And that's all he says. Throughout scripture, there are many heroic women remarkable heroic women that we can glean from and we can learn from. For example, we can learn from the faith of Sarah, who had to wait till she was nearly 100 years old before she had a baby. Or we could look at the bravery of Esther, who stood before the king and said, if I perish, I perish, but I will stand up and speak out that which is right. Or we could look at the commitment of Ruth, who sacrificed her whole life to walk it out and be alongside her mother-in-law. Or we could look at the life of Mary, the one who
who gave birth to the Savior of the world. The Bible is full of remarkable women, and yet Jesus tells us not to forget this one woman. In fact, be intentional on remembering this one woman, Lot's wife. We don't know her name, her character, her age, or her stage. We don't know anything about her history or her habits. We don't know anything at all, except a short story about her that is found in Genesis 19. And you know what? Even in Genesis 19, it really doesn't give us a great information on Lot's wife. But what it does tell her is, it didn't end well for her. And Jesus says, don't forget, be intentional, and remember Lot's wife. So I'm going to abbreviate what happened to you in Genesis 19, just bring us all up to speed a little bit. Lot was a man who was the nephew of Abraham. Anyone who's been in and around church for any length of time will be familiar with Abraham. Abraham was a standout figure, a father of the faith. Well, Lot was his nephew. Lot and Abraham were very successful businessmen. Both of them had wives, they had children, they had land, they had cattle, they had maidservants and manservants, and they were prosperous, and they were both successful. Two men that loved God. Two men that followed God. And what happened was Abraham's men and Lot's men began to quarrel with them over whose land belonged to who and whose cattle belonged to who. And Abraham and Lot got together, and Abraham said to Lot, hey, listen, we're too big. Your people, my people, we can't do this anymore. So we're going to split and we're going to go our own way. And I don't mind, Abraham said, which way you go, Lot. In essence, what he was saying was, you know what, Lot, you can choose left, you can choose right. Doesn't matter to me, because I know God's with me. You got to understand, God's not in the place, God is with you. So he said to Lot, Lot, you can choose. He says, you choose your favorite place to live. What I want you to see in this moment is these are two men, two good men, two men that loved God. But one put God first in everything he did. And the other one cherry-picked from God when he wanted something. Ask yourself, what kind of a Christian am I? What kind of a follower of God am I? And so Abraham says to him, hey, Lot, you choose where you want to go. Because either way, I know God's with me. And what Abraham was saying was, God's not in the place that I'm going to, but God is in the decision that I make. And some of you worry too much and you're praying like, is this the right one, Lord? Is this the right one? Let me tell you, that's not the right way to go about it. The right way to go about it is have a disciplined daily walk with God and just go about making your decisions. God is in the decisions that you make. Several years ago, we were on holiday in Mexico, and it was a wonderful family holiday. So Luke and I and our three sons and our eldest son's then girlfriend, now wife, she was with us. My parents were with us. And there was a whole tribe of us. And we'd made a little bit of a mistake, I'm not going to lie, because there's one particularly brilliant holiday spot in Mexico. And I believe that's like the Riviera Maya or somewhere like over on that side. And we picked the wrong side of the island to holiday on. We went to a place called Puerto Vallarta, which is not really a particularly holiday destination. It's more kind of like where the locals hang out, but we didn't care, the sunshine was there. And so we went to our villa, and our very first night, we went out for dinner, and we stepped outside of the complex where the villa was, and we didn't know anywhere to go or eat, but there was two really nice restaurants on either side of where our villa was located. So we all stood at the gates. And Luke went to me, you choose, Emma. Choose left or right. Where do you want to go and eat? And I was like, let's go left. It was a restaurant called La Madiana's. We went into La Madiana's, we all sat down, and we had a great night. We ate and we had fun as a family and enjoyed ourselves. And we left the restaurant and came out into utter chaos in the street. like the police were everywhere. There was tape everywhere. It was cordoned off everywhere. We were like, oh my, like what on earth has happened? And we sort of just sort of snuck back into the gates to where our apartment was and went about our evening. And later on in the evening, we turned on the TV and lo and behold, the news was on and there was our street where our villa was and all this carnage was. And it turned out that in the restaurant on the other side of us, whilst we were having a meal to the left, in the restaurant on the right, the Mexican cartel, you're all familiar with the drugs ring in Mexico and the gangsters and the life out there. Well, the Mexican cartel had gone into the restaurant and opened fire around the restaurant. It turns out that El Chapo's son was in there dining. So they went in, the cartel, they opened fire and they kidnapped El Chapo's son. Now, I had to ask my husband these questions because I had to get my facts right on the story. And he said, yes, they went in and opened fire. He said, tell them it was an AK-47 machine guns because we're at a women's conference and he thought we'd need to know that detail. But there you go. It was AK-47 machine guns that they opened fire with. And listen, my point is this, right? I love Jesus with all my heart. I don't have to, whether it's going to the restaurant or whether it's making a life-changing decision. I don't have to have 3 days of prayer and fasting all the time. I do when God requires it. But I just make a decision because the Bible says that we make our plans and the Lord orders our steps. So you make your plans, but God's going to be in that decision that you're already making. And this is what Abraham understood, and this is what Lot did not understand. So Abraham made his decision, and Lot made his decision, and Lot was ambitious, a little bit greedy. He was younger, and he was just like, so he chose the land that looks really cool. He chose the land that was appealing and attractive to him. And it was just outside of an up-and-coming, developing city. And Lot said, well, we're not going to go into the city, but we're going to take the land just outside of the city and we're going to settle on the land outside of the city. But here's the thing, from where Lot settled, he could see the city and the city became attractional to him. And what you give proximity to, you give permission to. So even though he wasn't going into the city to settle, he said, oh no, I'm fine. We will settle outside. We are good people. What he could see became attractional to. And if it is true, what you give proximity to, you give permission to, you need to be careful on who you're giving proximity to your life. Because who you get close with, you're giving them permission to influence you. And the city was appealing to him. So Lot began to move his camp closer and closer towards the city. Lot, being a businessman, he probably made quite a few business connections in the city. He probably went in there and maybe he took an office in the city and maybe he did a bit of wheeling and dealing in the city. Maybe Mrs. Lot, whose name we don't know, maybe she liked to go into the city with him. They'd grab an Uber camel, they'd go into the city, he'd go and do all of his, you know, everyday business meetings, and she'd go down the high street and buy a Louis Vuitton sandals and a little matching headscarf. And they loved this life. Late nights, bright lights. It was so attractional and appealing to them. This city was their Vegas and they loved it. And eventually they made the final move and they moved into the city. Problem was, they didn't just move into the city, they became consumed with the city. The name of the city was Sodom and Gomorrah. And when I say it was their Vegas, I am not exaggerating. For in that city was every kind of wild living, every kind of living without restraint. There was sexual immorality on the highest scale. There was addictions. There was the most gross misconduct that has ever been upon the earth. What was happening in that city was an absolute abomination, and it was classed as the most wicked place on the earth. And yet, Lot was prospering. Think about it. Lot was prospering in the most wicked place upon the earth because he was willing to overlook the sinful nature of the city because the lifestyle gave him prosperity and pleasure. So he chose to overlook the sinful nature of the place because of how it made him feel. He was prosperous and he was successful. How many know that the wrong kind of life can feel like the best kind of life? Sin feels good, or you wouldn't do it. It would be so helpful if sin felt wrong. Wouldn't that just help us all out? But do you know the devil doesn't have horns? Don't know where that came from. But the devil comes as an angel of light. He comes to tease you and torment you with pleasurable things, things that you want to do, things that he wants you to be drawn into. So the wrong kind of life can feel like the best kind of life. You're entangled in a relationship that you know it's destructive to you, but you just do not want to end it. You're overspending on credit cards. It's money that you haven't got, but you just don't want to start spending. It's when you're involved in that thing that you know is wrong, but you don't want to give it up because it looks good and it feels good to you and it becomes addictive. And this was Lot. God allows us free will. So those of you who are saying, well, if it wasn't right in God, he'd stop it. You know, if God didn't want this to happen, you know, it wouldn't be happening. It wouldn't be looking as good as it does. It wouldn't be working. You are wrong. Because God made you with a free will and a free choice, and he will not interfere with your free will and free choice. And for a period of time, you will be successful in your doing without any need or any want from him. You will fly high in your sin. But when you're putting your feelings first, time is ticking and an ending is coming. Now, Abraham was different to Lot because he chose out of humility. You see, Abraham was more interested in the condition of his heart than the condition of his lifestyle. So Lot chose what looked good and Abraham chose to look to God. And because Abraham chose to look to God and decided to put God first, it said that God doubled his portion of land and blessed it. Listen, you don't have to chase after things. When your life is in the hands of God, things chase after you. So the portion of land that Abraham had was doubled. Genesis 18, God speaks to Abraham. He says, Abraham, I've just got to talk to you. I've got to tell you something. I'm going to be destroying Sodom and Gomorrah. Like the sin there has got so bad. The sin has got so out of control. If I don't destroy this place, it's going to spread throughout the earth. That city is an abomination. Now, Abraham knows his nephew Lot is living there. So I haven't got time to read this. Please go and read the story for yourself. Abraham starts praying to God. He says, God, like if you found some righteous people in the city, would you save it? Would you save them? Would you not destroy them? And God says, if I found some righteous people, I will not destroy them. And there's this huge dialogue that happens between Abraham and God. And all the time, Abraham is mindful of his nephew, Lot, living in this place. And he begins to beg the Lord. And it says that the Lord heard him. Listen, ladies, this is a word for some of you in here, because some of you have got husbands and daughters and sons and family members and friends who are far away from God. And while you can't do anything about their choice, guess what you can do? You can get your life right before God and you can pray on their behalf in such a way that God honors your prayers for them. So when you can't do anything about the decisions that they're making, you can do something about the way you're praying. And it says that God honored the prayer of Abraham, even though Lot was sitting in the most destructive place doing the most destructive of things. God honored Abraham's prayers. And this is how he honored them. He sent two angels to go knocking on the front door of Lot's house. And Lot opens the door, and there's two angels. Do you know why God did that? Because God didn't want Lot to second guess. Is this God? Is this me? Is it my? Is it him? Is it not? Have you ever done that? You know, so many of you sitting there now and you're going, well, if he'd sent me two angels, I wouldn't have made the decision that I made. If he just sent two angels to my house, I wouldn't even be in the mess that I'm in right now. God didn't want Lot second guessing. And I want to say to you that God may not have sent angels knocking on your door, but scripture tells me that he sent the Holy Spirit to the earth to be your advocate. And I tell you what he did. He planted you in a church family. He got you in the room tonight. He surrounded you with godly friends. He put that couple in your life who could see the decision that you were making, and they tried to talk to you, and they tried to counsel you, and they tried to advise you wisely, but you didn't want to know. So you walked away from the church and you distanced yourself from the friend, because that was the easier option. Because like Lot, what you were involved in felt good to you. And this is exactly what Lot does. So the angels show up at his house. It's God's way of saying to him, listen to me, follow me, Lot. Come to a better future. And in essence, this is me summarizing. Lot was saying, but I like it here. But I'm happy. But we've got everything here. But we've got friends here. But look at the empire that I've built here. Here, I can do what I like, when I like, and that is how I like it. And I think so many of us get stuck in that place. Can I just tell you, when God is leading you, better is always ahead of you. Always ahead of you. And I just want to say tonight to any girl who is in here, and maybe now you've just shrunk to the bottom. In fact, you might have just disappeared somewhere behind that seat because you're like, I know that was me. I know God warned me. I know he put a friend in my world. I know they've been trying to talk to me and I have not listened. Hey, it is never too late. God is here. The Spirit of God is in this place. You are surrounded by an army of women who love you and want the best for you. And it is never too late. But listen, loving you doesn't always look like stroking you. Loving you looks like correcting you and setting you on the right path. God's way is not only the best way, God's way is the only way. His message to Lot was, you can't stay here. You can't stay here because I've seen the future. Don't forget, you serve a God who is way better than you are. You see, you don't even know what tomorrow brings. You see to the foot of the hill and God sees over the hill. You see to the edge, God sees around the corner. So why not place your life and your trust in a God who is already in your future? And God sent the angels to Lot to say, I've seen the future. I know how this ends for you, Lot, and it is not good. You need to get out of here. This way of life is destructive, and if you don't leave it, it will destroy you. So Lot's having a hard time leaving his self-built empire. And you know what he does? He asks the angels, can we have another night? Can we just stay one more night? Like, hello, you've got two angels on your doorstep with the word of God saying, get out because destruction is upon you. And Lot says, can we have another night? And I'm not going to go into all of the detail, but I promise you this, all kinds of crazy broke loose in Lot's house. Sin of the worst kind came knocking at his door that night. And in Genesis 15, the angels insist, Lot, we can't wait a minute longer. We have got to get out of this place. Like God is about to destroy it. We've got to get out of this city. I want you to know that God will bring necessary endings to your unwise decisions if you don't make the jump first. God will do something to cause you to move from where you are. Not because, and you're wondering, why did that happen to me? Why did I lose that relationship? Why did I end up with this? Why did this happen to me? And you're blaming God and saying, God is just bringing sickness on me. God is just destroying me. God has ruined my marriage. No, I'm telling you, he brought an unnecessary ending in the only way that he knew how, because you would not heed his warning. And so he brought it to you. But he brought it to you because he loves you. The angels press Lot. Get your wife, get your daughters, follow us. Let's get out of here. And in verse 16, it says, but when Lot hesitated, my goodness, what is wrong with this man? Why did he hesitate? You know, if the fire alarm goes off in here tonight, you haven't got time to check where Doris is and see if she's all, got your bag, Doris, you okay? You haven't got time to have a look at the merch on your way out. It's urgency. If the fire alarm goes, get out. Just go. Why? Because we love you. We want to save you. God wants the best for you. And so Lot hesitated. And I think Lot was just having a moment where he's thinking about what was. He's thinking about what can I grab? What can I take with me? Lot hesitates. And it says that the angel grabbed his hand. He grabbed his hand and he begins to flee from the place. But as the angel grabs Lot's hands to flee, what happens is Lot begins to resist. He's hesitating. And the angel's pulling him to flee from it to a better place. And Lot's resisting. He's hesitating. And you can imagine there's this and there's that going on in the house. And sometimes it is the place where you find that you're doing life in, because God is trying to take you forward into a better future, but you are remembering the past. God is saying, hey, listen, girlfriend, I know your future and I've got a safe passage forward for you. The Spirit of God is pulling you forward and the spirit of the past is pulling you backwards, and you're remembering the old friendship and you're remembering the guy and you're remembering how it felt and you're remembering the party and you're remembering what you used to do and you're remembering what you're calling the good old days. And God says, no, destruction is upon you. I need you to move from there to there. And the angels got hold of Lot's hand and they were pulling him forward. And finally, Lot and his family, they flee from the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. And the angels ran with them. This is important. The angels ran with them. Do you know why the angels ran with them? Because they were carrying the message from God. Okay? This is the Holy Spirit now. The Holy Spirit moves with you because he's got a message for you from God. He knows the direction that God wants to take your life. And as they're all running, the angel said, Lot, do you see the mountains over there? That's the place where you're to go. That's where God has instructed. There's a new future for you. There's a better tomorrow. God's instruction is you run towards the mountain. And as they left, let me just make this side note, actually. This is just in my spirit right now. God says, before you made that unwise decision, I knew you'd have to run. So I ran ahead of you and I prepared a place for you. And I've got people around you. My spirit is working in you. And it's for your exit. The day you made the decision about the relationship, the day you went into that place of work, the day you did the thing, struck up the deal, I already made provision for your exit. So listen, he says, trust me, because you're not running into oblivion. When I'm telling you to let go of that, it's because I know where I'm taking you. You're not letting go of that and having nothing and no security. You're not running into nowhere like, where am I going? God says, I'm leading you. You're not running into oblivion. And they left and God began to rain down sulfur and fire from heaven on the city that had become an abomination to him. And in verse 19, really the strangest thing happens. Lot thanks the angels for being with him. And then he says this really alarming thing. He says, thank you for leading me out, but I can't go to where you want me to go. Oh, thanks for leading me out, but I can't go to where you want me to go. Lot made a decision for himself. I'm not ready to go to where you're calling me to. So he says to the angels, can I go over there? Because over there, there's a small town. And I want to go over there and I want to make my home in a small town. The small town was called Zor. And the word Zor literally means little. It means little. It was a little town. This little town was between where he'd come from and where he was supposed to be going. And Lot decided to settle in the middle. The problem with settling in the middle in a place called just a little is you can see where you've come from and you can see where you ought to be. So you settle for this place, and I believe one of the greatest lies that the enemy has fed you is that your place of just a little is the abundance of God's blessing on your life. And I want you to know right now that this is a lie from the pit of hell. Every time you walk away from what was, but you do not fully walk into what God has for you, you settle in a place of compromise. The place of compromise is just a little sin. I finished with the guy, but I've got his number in my phone just in case. I've given up alcohol. Just have a little drink every now and again. I'm a child of God. I just have a little gossip every now and again. The place of just a little, there are so many women living in this town of just a little is bulging at the seams. Just a little bit. And you know why you settle for just a little? It's because you believe the lie that you can't live without your past. So you're afraid to move further on because you know you're going to lose sight of what was. So you'd rather settle in the middle so that you can please God a little and please yourself a little at the same time. You're never going to move. You're never going to progress. You're never going to walk into the fullness of what God has for you. He could see where he was. He could see where he needed to be, but he settled in a place of compromise. Can I just tell you that God is a jealous God for you? God is such a jealous God for you that he wants you all for himself. God is a jealous God for you, and he doesn't want just a little from you. And he doesn't want just a little from you because he can't bless your little. He wants all of you because he wants to bless all of you. He wants to bless every area of your life. So he's looking for girls who are going to be all in. Hey, listen to me. Before the angels went, they gave Lot one final instruction. They said, okay, Lot, we're not going to interfere with your decision. It's your decision, but here's your final instruction. Whatever you do, don't look back. Whatever you do, Lot, don't look back. Now, that look is not just a glance. It was a lust. It was a yearning of the heart. The reason that your windscreen is so much bigger than your rearview mirror is because your rearview mirror is so that you can be aware of what's behind you, but you need to focus on what is ahead of you. And some of you have got your focus completely the wrong way around, and you're doing life trying to drive through the rearview mirror, and you're more focused on what is in the past than what is actually ahead of you. God has a vision for you. Your future is forward. So don't be focused on who hurt you, on who disappointed you, on the bitterness, on the offense, because every time you focus on what is behind you, you're going to keep coming up with a crash. Leave it in the past. Freedom is in your future. But like anything, when you have to let go of something that you've had hold of for a long time, there's always withdrawal symptoms. And this is where Lot's wife comes into play. Remember the girl who Jesus said, if you're going to remember anyone, remember Lot's wife, because she's running into her destiny, but she's yearning for yesterday. So she's running ahead, but in her heart, she's aching after all she's had to run away from. And at some point, she turns. And I don't know whether the turn was a physical turn or whether it was a turn of her heart, but there was a pause. And in that moment of pause, the scripture says in Genesis 19, 26, but Lot's wife looked back, and as she was following behind him, she turned, and she turned into a pillar of salt. She crystallized. She froze. She literally froze on the spot where she has. Listen, our mind plays memories. And what happens when our mind plays memories is occasionally you'll screenshot one of them. And I know you all do this because it's like when you're stalking someone on Instagram, and I know you all do that as well. And then what you do is you screenshot their Instagram, then you go into photos because then you can stretch it out. Because I want to know what she's got on our kitchen counter in the background of the image that has just been taken. So you're stretching the picture out so you can look at the detail. But do you know you're taking screenshots in your memories? Like a memory flags up and you pause and you zoom in and you magnify it because I'm just interested in remembering and recoiling the detail of what happened. And this is what we do. And we wrong for long because it's addictive. Lot's wife turned into a pillar of salt. And Jesus said, out of all of the women in the Bible, remember Lot's wife. Not to remember her for the great thing she did, but Jesus said, remember Lot's wife, because he knew the greatest battle that you will have on the earth is in your mind. He knew the greatest battle you will have on the earth is breaking free from the past. Lot's wife sealed her own fate, froze. She was now robbed of a future. Sometimes the reason we keep revisiting the past is because all the tabs are open. Sometimes the reason we've been revisiting the past is because we haven't closed down all the little boxes. And the way we close the boxes down, sometimes it's like a grieving process. It's okay to cry. It's okay to cry to God about what you lost, because what you lost hurt you. And God said, it's okay to cry. And I get it and I understand it. But the future is always better when I am leading you. And I just want to say in closing, if you've become stuck in the past, maybe you feel hardened like Lot's wife became hard, and our hearts can become hard. We're unresponsive to the things of God because our heart is hardened. The Bible tells us that God's word is not only just like a sword, but it's also like water. It says it's like water because it washes us. When you read it, it's like having a hot soapy bath. It cleanses you. It cleanses your soul. It's really important. It cleanses your soul. Do you know what the other thing that water does? It dissolves salt. If you're in here tonight and you feel like your heart is hard because of a past trauma, because of a broken relationship, because of a church hurt, because someone failed you, because they let you down, because you had to make choices to give up and let go in order to pursue God, and it cost you dearly. I want you to be ministered to tonight. Abby, I'm going to invite you to come out onto the platform, because I asked Abby if she would sing this song. There's a brilliant young artist in the States, and her name is Anna Golden. And she wrote a song only last year, and the song is called Manasseh. Manasseh is the son of Joseph. You remember the story of Joseph in the Bible? Joseph had all sorts of wrong things done to him, all sorts of things that should not have happened to him. Unfair things happened to Joseph that should not have happened. He was banished by his family, thrown into a pit, and even ends up in a prison that he should never have ended up. And when he's in the prison, he's forgotten about. But God doesn't forget about him. And eventually Joseph's life is reinstated and to a very high place. And Joseph gets married, and his firstborn child, he names him Manasseh. And the name Manasseh means free from the pain of my past. And I'm not going to come back out. And I'm not going to do a big prayer plea, because I'm going to let the Holy Spirit move. Because Abby's going to sing this song to us, but I know that there is going to be healing in this place as she ministers. I know the Spirit of God is in here and he's going to whisper, Manasseh, 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 free from the pain of your past. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Because the future is forward and better is always ahead of you when God is leading you.
You fulfill. This is my Manasseh. This is my Manasseh. And this is my Manasseh. You've caused me to forget. Your goodness washes over all the pain of my past. And this is my Manasseh. You've caused me to forgive. And all my broken places, you're rewriting what's been written. Thank you for Manasseh. Oh, thank you for Manasseh. 'Cause you can.